Good morning, I'm Nicole White, and I have to tell you first that I am not an expert on parenting or on mothering. I'm just a mom, okay? What kind of mom am I? Well, I'm a scientist, so I mother like a scientist would. I mother through inquiry and questioning. Where are you going? Who are you texting? Why are you texting at the table? Are you sure you had enough to eat? Are you going to comb your hair? Is your homework done? Is your laundry folded? Is your room clean? Did you brush your teeth with toothpaste? Is that where your shoes belong? Do you need a sweater? Did you put on sunscreen? Are you going to call me when you get there? Do you need a ride home? Because I don't know about your house, but at my house, we can't spell smother without our mother. Okay? So, but here I am doing the Mother's Day sermon, and I am, as always, super excited to preach. Whenever Steve asks me to preach, I always say, well, let me pray about it. Yes. Like that. So that's how that goes every time. This time, I didn't look before I leaped, because where I landed was on Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a really complicated day for a lot of people. So I said, Steve, Mother's Day is kind of a complicated Sunday in a lot of people's lives. And I don't remember exactly what he said to me, but I think he said, sucker, like that. So here I am. and I asked him, well, what should I do here? Should I approach this whole concept that why Mother's Day is complicated? Or should I veer off into something a little more stable, a little firmer ground? And go that way. And he always gives me good advice. He said, you know, I trust you to pick what to do, but I think you should take the bull by the horns. And so, if you enjoy the message today, please let me know. And if you don't, please let Steve know. Because Mother's Day is complicated. Can we just say the truth today? Mother's Day is a complicated day. On the surface, it just seems so simple, doesn't it? If you have a mother, it's Mother's Day. Honor her. And if you are a mother, receive unto you the honoring with grace that you receive. Okay, that's on the surface, that really is all there is to it. However, beneath the surface of what Mother's Day should be, we have instead this very complex mix of emotions and experiences that can make up the mother-child relationship. You see, the mother-child relationship is the first one we ever have. It's the first relationship we ever have. And it is the one with the highest expectations of what it should be like from both the child's end and from the mother's end. And because of that, it is also the one that can so easily have those expectations not perfectly met. So how do we, as the church, honor this day, Mother's Day, but still acknowledge the complexities that can cause this day to be tough for many, mother and child alike, a day that can stir old and new wounds or issues? So let's take this bull by the horns, or in this case, this heifer by the horns, all right? And let's talk about why Mother's Day is so complicated. So this morning, I want to take an old, well-known story from the Bible about a mother and a child, and I want to give it a fresh look through the eyes of that mother and that child. Now, this is the story of Moses and his mother, Jochebed. Our text today is Exodus 2, 1 through 10, but before we dive in, we're going to set the stage for you a little bit. So in Exodus 1, we find God's chosen people, who are the Israelites. They are in trouble again. Okay, so the Israelites are in a bad way. The whole nation has been conquered and taken captive by the Egyptians. They've been forced into slavery. They've been forced into hard labor. However, God has continued to bless the Israelite nation as his people, and they have been continuing to multiply. This increase in the number of Israelites is a threat to the Egyptians. If there are too many of them, they can gain in power and overthrow their Egyptian overseers. And so that's a threat. So Pharaoh sets out a decree to the Hebrew midwives. He tells the midwives that when they go to deliver the Hebrew babies, if it is a girl baby, let it live. But if it is a boy baby, he commands the midwives to kill that baby. Now, the midwives know that this command is a wicked one. This is not a command from God, and it's not one that they can obey. So they instead go back to the king and say, well, these Hebrew women, they're just having their babies so fast. We don't get there in time to pull off and do what you want us to do. So I'm sorry, we haven't been able to kill the Hebrew boy children. So the king sends out a decree, another decree, this time to all the people. He says, every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. And that is how Exodus chapter 1 ends. So we're going to pick this up in Exodus chapter 2, the birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. She placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it up and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of those Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Moses' sister went and got Jochebed. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him up out of the water. Okay, so overall, this story, it's the story of a mother, Jochebed, who has made the difficult decision to let her child go, not once, but twice. And it's the story of a child, Moses, born into adversity, whose life is being shaped by decisions made for him that he has no say in. And it's also the story of a second mother, the Egyptian princess, who loved Moses without the requirement of biology. So there's a lot going on here, but let's consider the story and the things that can be learned about motherhood from it. So the first thing I think we can pull out about motherhood is that motherhood can mean making hard decisions. Jochebed had to decide what to do with Moses. By defying Pharaoh's command, she put not only Moses' life at risk, but her whole family's life at risk. For 3 months, they kept this child quiet. They kept him a secret. They had to change their patterns of what they did. If they had been found out, it would not have just been Moses' life that would be in jeopardy. All of her other children, her husband, the whole family would be in jeopardy. And so she had to make that hard decision based on the circumstances to put Moses into the river. Now, moms, we learn very, very early on in motherhood that motherhood means making hard decisions. You know, if you're a mom out there and you have ever woken up in the morning to get ready for work and your kiddo comes out and they are just sick enough where you know probably they should stay home, but you know you don't have any sick days left and your family can't do without a day's wages. So if that kid stay home and you stay home, your kid doesn't eat. So you have to make the decision to dose them up with Tylenol, wipe away their tears, and suck it up, buttercup, for going to school, right? And that's a hard decision as a mom. The times that I've had to take my kids and I know, ooh, I wish I could stay home, that's a hard decision. And if you are the parent of a child with a chronic illness or the parent of a child with a learning disability, well, that is one hard decision after another. As you try and find the best treatment, the best teacher, the best school, the best circumstances to help your child to get the best possible outcome. And you just have to make decision after decision. Or have you ever had your middle schooler or your teenager come home from school, crying because somebody said something really mean to them at school. And you have to listen, and you have to decide, is what happened big enough that I should step in? Or should I listen, encourage, hug, and set them up to go into school to handle it themselves and help them grow? How bad does it have to be before you step in and rescue or let them handle it themselves? I know all the moms have been in that situation. That's a tough decision. Mother's Day is complicated by those tough decisions. If you've ever had an adult child stray and stray and stray from a good path that you have set out for them, and you have to decide how to balance standing by them but not supporting their poor decisions, and you have to decide how to balance that. You know, Mother's Day is a complicated day for you. And if you're the child in this situation, decisions have been made about your life. You didn't have any say. And they are decisions that maybe have affected outcomes that you wish were different. And so on this day, Mother's Day, how you feel about it, it could be a little bit complicated. Motherhood also means not knowing if you're doing it right. Jochebed had no guarantees about what was going to happen after her decision to put her baby in the river. Would Moses get rescued? Would he be looked upon with favor? Would he be spared from death? There are no guarantees in motherhood, and there sure isn't an instruction manual, is there? So we as mom, we worry about the things we decide to do and whether or not we're getting it right, okay? And I can tell you a lot of times we know we don't get it right. I am fond of saying that I lose the Motherhood of the Year award every single day, okay? I have made 5 major parenting mistakes this weekend alone, and one of my kids is at a sleepover, all right? So I promise you, there are going to be times when you're like, oh, didn't do that one right, okay? So to all the moms who are sitting out there today and you're beating yourself up a little bit because you're thinking, I'm not getting this right, you know, or you're sitting and looking back at decisions that you made that you wish you had done differently, Mother's Day can be complicated for you. I would like to give you a little encouragement, though. Luckily for us, children are actually pretty sturdy. They're pretty resilient, okay? And poor decisions made with the right heart and followed up with love and support over and over again, your kiddo is not going to remember most of those things that you think you did so wrong. They're going to remember that you were there most of the time and that you love them and you stood by their side. That's thank goodness they have short memories, right? I mean, before 8 years old, do they really remember anything? No, probably not. Thank God. Okay. Now, the flips, so please don't beat yourself up too much about those things, you know? Tomorrow's a new day. Get tomorrow right and let it go. I would say, however, that there is a flip side to this, okay? And you may be sitting there as the child of a mom who didn't make good decisions for you. And maybe that mom wasn't even trying her best to make good decisions for you. And she was making decisions out of brokenness and shortcomings in her own life. And for you, child of that mother, Mother's Day can be a little complicated. Okay? Because a good mother can make you, but a bad mom, a broken mom, can break you a little bit too, right? So Mother's Day can be complicated. How do you honor your mom on that day? Now, motherhood, what motherhood also means, it means continually letting go of your child. I want you to imagine Jochebed not giving up that child once as she put him in the river, but twice as she got him back to nurse him, probably kept him until he was 2 or 3 years old, and then had to give him up again. And, you know, motherhood is constantly letting a kid go, letting him go to kindergarten, letting him go to high school, letting him go to college, letting him go off and have a career in another state. It's a constant letting go of your child. It's what we have to do. It's required of us. Otherwise, they can't grow. They're not meant to be our children in that sense forever. But it's hard. Those times are hard. And so to all those moms who are welcoming an adult child back home, navigating that relationship with your child who's now an adult, well, that's a rough one too. How do you step out of the parenting role and step more into the peer role? You know, That can make relationships complicated as well. And there are sometimes we are called to literally let go of our child. I want you to imagine Jochebed putting her 3-month-old baby in a basket and putting that basket in a river and pushing it out into the river. Can you even imagine that? I know I can't. But you know who can? Any mom who's ever given a baby up for adoption. She knows what that feels like. She does. Any mom who has had to take her hands off her child and let that child go home prematurely to God, she knows what that feels like. And you, as a child, at some point, you may have lost your mom, and your mom, as she went home, had to take her hands off you, and maybe you're the child left behind in your mother's absence. These are all things that make Mother's Day complicated for us. And then there's all the moms, the would-be moms, who are anticipating being moms, looking forward to that day, or maybe thought by this time in their life, they would be mothers. And they've had to let go of a child that never even existed, even though they wanted it to. That's a complicated thing. How are you supposed to feel on this day to honor mothers? You know, we do have help here, though. We do have help with this one. Because motherhood can mean loving outside of simple biology. If you are very blessed, God may put a secondary mother in your life. That Egyptian princess, when Jochebed was in a place where she could no longer care for that child, another mother stepped in, the Egyptian princess, and cared for that child. It is a tremendous blessing as a mom to know that there are other women out there who mother my own children, who have my back when I need it. There are other women out there who are favorite aunts, spiritual mothers to my own children, and I know for your own children, and I know in your life you have those women who were spiritual mothers to you. Mother's Day is so much richer for that. And thank you if you are in that position. A spare mom is a great thing to have. And to all the adoptive moms and the stepmoms out there, you have stepped into the role of mama that may feel like it was shaped for somebody different to begin with. It can feel kind of strange fitting into a role that maybe didn't feel like it was originally shaped for you. You can feel like you are competing with a shadow or a myth. But hey, I'm here to tell you, you are the real mom. You're the real deal, okay? Please don't let society or anybody else make you feel different. You're the real deal. Okay? But Mother's Day can be complicated for you. And it can also be complicated for a child in that situation. A child who has called two women mom. How do you honor both women and not feel in some way that you are splitting your allegiance? Mother's Day is a complicated day. And lastly, the overall lesson that we learn here is that motherhood means accepting that we are not in control. This was Jochebed's big lesson, and it is all of us as moms, it is our big lesson. So when Jochebed took that child and put that child in the river, she had to take her hands off and just accept what happened. She was not in control of what happened next. And, okay, show this picture for me. There. Okay, that's me on the day I became a mama. That is Caleb White. He is no longer that size. He's that size. He's 14 now. And I am going to tell you that there is not one baby in that picture. There are two babies in that picture. Because look at the smile on that girl's face. She has no idea what's about to happen. Okay? No idea. So that was the day I became a mother. But when Caleb was 1 week old, that was the day that I really realized what motherhood meant. It was the day we were supposed to take Caleb to the pediatrician for his first well check. And I don't know, the kid would never sleep. The kid constantly ate. That's still true. And I, you know, we had to get him fed and changed and clean and in a something that, you know, all set up. I had to put him in the car seat. We hadn't left the house all week long, and I had to get him in the car seat. I didn't know how it hooked in. And so it was this big, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay? Finally got him all set up in the car seat, put him in the car, and headed to the pediatrician's. And we were on our way, and Rusty was in a turn lane waiting to merge into traffic. And a giant SUV from behind us didn't realize that we had stopped waiting for a time to merge, and he thought he'd just speed up and merge. Full speed, ran into the back of our car. Full speed, with my one-week-old baby in the back. Holy cow. I mean, our car was totaled. Rusty had minor injuries. I had minor injuries. And when that car finally came to a halt, and my instincts kicked in to get that baby, because, woof, did I become a mama in that moment. Get that baby. And I was so freaked out that I had opened my car door and couldn't get out of the car because I forgot seatbelts existed. Really, literally, Rusty had to reach over and push the button on my seatbelt because I couldn't figure out how to get out of the car. I was so freaked out about my baby. And I ran around the back, threw the door open, and there's Caleb White, sound asleep. I'd had him for a whole week. He hadn't slept more than 5 minutes at a time, and now he's sleeping. And he was fine. He was fine. I was not fine. I was freaked out. So, you know, we had him checked out. He was okay. Had to get a new car, you know. But I didn't sleep for a week thinking about this whole idea. I could do every single thing right. Everything. And the fate of that child was still out of my hands. Motherhood means realizing that we are not really in control over something that we are trying so hard to control. Okay, so Caleb came in when I was working on the sermon, and he said, hey, am I in it? Because he's a little kind of self-focused. I don't know where he gets that, probably from his father. And he said, hey, am I in the sermon? I'm like, well, yeah, actually, I'm going to tell the story about you when you were a baby in the car. And he's like, well, why are you telling that story? And I was saying, well, I'm telling it to get across the idea that in motherhood, if you're a mom, that means you're not in control of anything. And he said, wow, I'm glad I'm a dude. So I cannot wait to walk into the hospital room and see my son carrying his first child and go, ah, see the connection? You're not in control either. Caleb has a point. If you look at this list of things that motherhood means, it's terrifying. Why do we do it? Why would any of us sign up for this? Holy cow. And where is God in all of this? Well, if you ask any mother in this room, they can answer that one really, really easily. Why would we sign up for this incredible, intrepid journey? Well, the answer is easy. It's love. It's love. Of course the answer is love. Mothers face this complicated mess because of love. God made us in his own image. And he created us to love as he does. And he loves unconditionally. Motherhood is our attempt to love unconditionally. Because we are made in God's image. Messy, willful, unpredictable, you and me. He created us and he loves us. Even though he knows the rough ride that loving us is going to be. He knows all the times that we are going to break his heart. He knows all the times that he's going to have to stand by us while he watches us struggle and suffer. And he does it anyway. And motherhood is made in this image, unconditional love. Because we are human as mothers, we don't get it right. We don't always get it right. But because we are loved by a perfect God, we are given this blueprint, his image, to keep trying. Love done right, in the end, it's its own reward. But back to this day and why it is so complicated. This complicated day, to those who have lost a child or a mother, to those who are far from their child or their mother, those who are lonely for their child or their mother, those who are broken for a child, for a mother, those who feel left out by this day, they need to know that on this day, when we joyfully say, Happy Mother's Day, that the church and that God has not forgotten them. They need to know that we hear them. Mother's Day brings to the forefront this particular relationship, the mother-child relationship. But in all sorts of situations, people need to know that they are not forgotten. They're asking of God, do you see me? Do you see my suffering? Do you see my loneliness? I think the complication of Mother's Day is that fear, that anxiousness, that our struggling, whatever it is, will be overlooked. That on Mother's Day, when everybody seems to be really so happy with their mom, that the fear is that they will be forgotten. In the celebration of Mother's Day, though, God does not forget the struggle of the mother and the struggle of the child. So mom, would-be mom, wounded or grieving mom, hurting or wounded child, I promise you that God hears your struggle. I promise you that he has not forgotten you. Of all the sorrows known to humankind, sorrow for a child is not one unfamiliar to God. God, who sacrificed his own child to die on the cross for all our salvation, yes, he understands your pain. He hears you today. He hears your heart's cry. Which brings us, ironically, all the way back to Moses. Moses didn't forget the things he learned at the knee of his Hebrew mother. You see, Jochebed had to let go of her son Moses. She had to take her hands off of him and put him in a basket in the river. But she also trusted that God did have his hands on her beloved boy. And God did. He had a big plan for Moses. He was going to use Moses to deliver his people out of captivity. In Exodus 3, just the next chapter, Moses encounters God. And God tells him this: I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. God hears the cries of his people. And if you're here today and Mother's Day is complicated for you, God hears your cries too. Please know that your joy on this day delights the Lord. And your sorrows move him as well. He hears you, beloved. Ultimately, for Jochebed, motherhood is about trusting God. In the end, Jochebed had to realize that this child wasn't really hers anyway. It was God's child. Trusting his fate in God's hands was the best course of action in those desperate times. So there in the beginning of the Old Testament, well, this is the very beginning of the Bible, well, the second book of the Bible, okay, we have this story. Let's fast forward all the way to the book of Hebrews, which is close to the end of the New Testament. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, what we see is what sometimes is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. It's a recounting of all the people who acted in faith and who furthered God's kingdom because of that. On that list in Hebrews chapter 11 is Jochebed. Hebrews 11:23, the Faith Hall of Fame. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And that's true for us, too. Good mothering in the end. Good mothering, it's an act of faith. How do we combat the fear of the unknown? Well, some of us do it like helicopter moms, and we try to control every single thing that happens in our children's lives. The problem there is that won't allow your child to grow. Your child is going to be stuck being a child, and they're not going to grow and stand on their own feet if you try to control everything. And that's why we have to mother by faith. We have to walk in faith. That's true in mothering. And in the end, that's true in all things. So, in conclusion, on this Mother's Day, is your soul at rest? Is it filled with peace and joy on this Mother's Day? Then give praise for that. And on this Mother's Day, is your soul troubled? Is your Mother's Day complicated? Then please know that there is a God who hears your cries and stands ready to comfort you. And for all of us, let me give you a little piece of advice about Mother's Day, this complicated day. Make it simple. Are you a child? Honor your mother for what she got right. Are you a mother? Receive with grace the honors that you are given. Are you on this Mother's Day complicated? with the concept. I encourage you to cast those troubles upon the Lord as he calls us to do. He cares for you. He hears you. He knows your story. It matters to him. Trust him with it. That's what faith is. Not relying on our own control or understanding of life, but relying on his. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the life that they have given us. We thank you for the ways that they were able to love us, Lord. And Father God, we ask that you would help us to walk in faith. We would ask that you would help us to love unconditionally. And now, Father God, bless all these who are here. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.